glad you're here. I'm going to step into the two more dispensations today. We're moving toward end times. And anyway, let Bob come here and do what he does so well. Appreciate you, Bob.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. I mean, we have a bug going around, and I've heard of a couple different viruses going around. Let's just hope we all stay well and pray for those that you don't, kind of look around the class and see who you don't see here. And if you have time this week, call them. Just if you wonder where their phone number is, get on that website from the church and you can get their number or where they live. Either call them, send them a card, whatever, tell them you missed them, and let them know that they're missed, okay? So, if you got a bulletin, today we've got the missionary Eric Elrod and his family from New Delhi, India, is going to be here, or they are here. Anyhow, that's for today. And then beginning on Thursday, March the 2nd, believe it or not, it's March already. My goodness, where'd February go? But anyhow, the ladies' Bible study is beginning, 10 a.m. and at 6:30 p.m. So kind of keep that in mind, if you would, in the home builders class. And then look on down. If anybody in here wants to get involved with a CPR class or first aid class, see Teresa Payne. The fees are due today. And they're going to have one on Saturday, March the 4th, is when they're going to have the class. So that's always appreciated when somebody knows that stuff. It helps us even with the children, because anything can go wrong. So keep that in mind, if you would. And then Sunday, March 5th, next Sunday, we got Ambassador Baptist College Ensemble with Alton Beal will be here and our speaker in the evening service. So keep that in mind. And then also March 7th, Oasis Potluck. So if you haven't been coming to the Oasis meetings or anything like that, you want to sure keep that in mind, okay, if you would. And you can go down and see some of the other. March the 12th, we're going to have Brother David Gibbs here in the morning and evening service. So keep that in mind, if you would, okay? So. Now, do we have any prayer requests? Any prayer requests here on my left? I've already been given one. Need to be praying for a family that lost a loved one. I don't have the card on me, but I need to be praying for that family. Just be praying that the Lord will just give them strength and the comfort that they need. Okay. Brother Joe? Sherry East? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Anybody else on this side will be praying for that? Randy Scaff? Okay. Randy Scaff, I can't even talk this morning. I'm going to be in trouble second hour. But Randy Scaff's son has COVID, so we need to be praying for them. Anybody here in the middle section? Be praying for the primary church and junior church. Be praying for our Sunday school this morning. I'm sure, the one thing I learned having foster kids, and that is the fact of kids spread germs big time. When we had the three little ones, we were all sick. It would go through, make another cycle, and that, it was a mess. But you got to love them anyhow, okay? Anybody on this side, special prayer requests? Okay. Yes, Danny. Okay, how's she doing? Okay. Need to pray for Palma Hodges. She's got shingles. And as you can see, for just watching television, that don't look like a pleasant thing. So keep that in mind, if you would. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Oh, yes. Nancy? Okay, need to pray for that as well, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember all of these and be praying for Brother Steve as he brings a lesson this morning. And that he'll give us what we need for this week, okay? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning very unworthily, but dear Heavenly Father, you, by your mercy and by your grace, just continue helping. You continue answering prayer. You continue saving. Dear Heavenly Father, our country needs your help. This world needs your help. Dear Heavenly Father, we need your help in here. There's so many that are sick, so many that have a special need this morning, these that have been mentioned. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd be with each one, that you would just have your way and your will. I pray to Heavenly Father that you'd be with the Elrods while they're here with us. I pray that you'd be with Brother Steve as he teaches this morning. I pray that you just use him to help us. I ask you, Heavenly Father, now that you'd have your will, be with the primary church and junior church, be with our Sunday school upstairs, be with Brother Herdman as he preaches this morning. Have your will. Touch that heart that's closest to hell. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. Saw Summer Scroggs here. Praise the Lord for answered prayer. She's was out there in the hallway, walking around, doing well. That's answered prayer for her. We're going to be looking at the dispensation of law this morning. It's that time period for the nation of Israel, from Sinai to Calvary, about 1,500 years or so time period, that man's condition in this particular dispensation was, talks about it in Exodus 19, 1 through 8. Nation of Israel kept choosing poorly. When Satan disrupted man in the Garden of Eden, he didn't quit. He hasn't quit today. He's still here. He's the prince and the power of the air, of this atmosphere. And like we've talked before, we have a choice. God allows us to have individual soul liberty as we choose how we live and how we serve God. And most of all, we choose whether by faith we trust Christ for our salvation. It's always amazing to me that people in church can't have chosen salvation, a lot of us many, many years ago. A lot of younger people 10, 15 years ago, and by faith they got saved. They really trusted Christ. They know what saved them. They understand that. But they still choose poorly when it comes to living life. Just as Satan blinded the nation of Israel and they chose poorly, they chose not to serve God, chose to serve idols. We're going to get into our dispensation, this one. Hopefully I can get there today. We keep choosing because Satan throws things at our flesh. We're sinners saved by grace. We deal with the flesh daily. Pam and I were talking here this morning. You can't choose one time and then say, okay, I'm done that. I'm going to live that way. Well, I mean, Satan will jump right back in on you, and the next time you have to choose, you choose poorly. You make the wrong choice, and that's what happened to the nation of Israel. They just kept going back and back and backwards. And if you look at the whole picture from Sinai to Calvary, the nation of Israel was in this circle, this cycle that they would fall into sin, And then they would fall into servitude. God would allow some nation to come in and take them over. Put them in chains and terrible things. Then they would cry out to God just like we do. We get in trouble and we run to God. But a lot of times we don't run to God until we get to get in trouble. We ought to be running to God every day when things are good, when life's going even. Because Satan's sitting on the outside wanting to tear it up, wants to tear families up. Oh, how can we see families tore up today? And the same thing happened here, the nation of Israel. There was times came that the next generation didn't even know the Ten Commandments were even there. You know, and they found the book and in some building and started reading it again. And did God do that for them? I mean, they forgot. You move out 6 or 8 generations without God, and it's easy to see that a society as we have today has gotten away from the book, God, and it starts to go sideways. You know, and you have these conversations all the time anymore, everywhere you go, and no matter who you're doing business with, where you're at in the store, here, there, at the gas station, it doesn't matter. Oh, this world's a mess. Where's it going? I mean, that's what's on everybody's minds. I mean, I can remember back, and probably you can too, I don't know, it's been a long time, 30, 40 years ago, you watched the Billy Graham Crusades and seen thousands of people getting saved. And then you see these preachers started teaching end time stuff, that time it came around, and started speaking about Revelations and Daniel and the details of all that, and people got saved from that teaching, come to understand what was going to happen. Well, here we are. Is all that been forgotten? Is there a generation now that are with families that don't even know who Billy Graham is or was? And I got, if yeah, go back, you can get those on the internet and go back and look at some of that stuff that happened in the 70s where thousands of people believe what he was preaching. He preached Christ. I know some people say, Billy Graham this or that. The man was a preacher. And thousands of people got saved. And I'm just using that as an example. Other preachers were preaching too during that times, and thousands were being saved. But he was out in the public face. Everybody knows the name, at least we do anyway. But where's that at today? Has that happened? Is that happening anywhere in this country? And when all that TV evangelism started and it kind of went sideways and people got burnt on that, it was nothing but the devil searing our conscience to where we're at today. Well, the same thing happened to the nation of Israel. And because of what they did, you know, Moses lined them out, brought down the law, give them all that. They knew they'd been liberated from the Egyptians and knew all that. God made promises and they knew all that. And Moses was talking for him, and he says, now therefore, if ye, God was speaking to him, he is saying, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be particular treasures unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, God says. And here's what he wanted the nation of Israel to be. This is in Exodus 19, chapter 3, verse 6. And ye shall be upon
And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. He wanted the nation of Israel to go into the world and represent him. That's what he wanted. That was their duty to do that. He had chose that nation as his people to be kingdom priests into the world. Now, and that all went sideways because the devil got in the middle of it. So we see what happened to the nation of Israel because their disobedience. We all know the stories. Let's stop right there and pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, and Lord, just give us understanding of how we need to take this information of the Old Testament and bring it into the New Testament and bring it into our lives and our families' lives and be able to show others that they need Christ. And Christ alone is the solution to the miseries of this world. God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here that God says, and ye shall be unto me a king, unto me and the God, kingdom of priest, holy nation, a holy nation. Did this great country of ours start out a holy nation? One nation under God? It's written everywhere, all over our government, our paper, our money. And Moses called all the elders of the people and laid before them their faces and all the words which the Lord had commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord, trusting in his own strength instead of depending on God. That's where Moses went. Moses. Because of that, we know the story. Moses was not allowed to go into the cross the Jordan. He relied on his own strength. He got away. It's so easy. I mean, we see Moses. Moses did that? Yeah. He was just a man. We're just flesh. We're a man. I'm man and ladies at best. The sin that so easily besets them will us and has done and will do. And we deal with it daily. So we see that trusting in our own strength instead of depending on God. Because how can I be a kingdom of priests? How can we be that, which is a witness today? We can translate that into being a witness for Christ. Trusting in our own strength instead of depending on God. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to walk out the door every day and go to work, go wherever you go, and not even pray or not even ask God for his help today. These ladies sitting over here practicing the piano a while ago, getting ready to sing, getting ready to play, and they were trusting God to give them the ability to do that. And we think, well, that Dan's wife, she can really play. And she said, I have to let God take control of his hands. And you probably know that. You play. It's unbelievable how we go through life and we don't trust God in all things. The nation of Israel didn't. Man's responsibility in this dispensation of law was to keep the law, including the Ten Commandments, because the law showed them how bad they were. But these laws were set in place to for them to live by socially and civil. And they just completely dropped the ball. They were given to the people of Israel only at that time. And we know now, since the cross, all the ground at the foot of the cross is level, praise the Lord. We as Gentiles got in on that. Because we know the word says all. He saved, he died for all of mankind. He had to do that. Because he saw what Satan had done in the beginning. God knew. It just, as you go through this stuff, and it became so repetitive that there is no new anything. Man's failure. The children of Israel, what they did then, they walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from the children of Israel, and the king of Israel, which they had made, and the children of Israel did. I mean, they just went on. It goes on and on. They're in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 down. It just tells you how bad it went. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in their own strength. They set watchtowers. They put men on it. They had fenced cities, and they did all that to protect themselves. And they had already forgot what God did for them coming out of Egypt, how he went before them, and how he wanted them to be the kingdom priest of the world. Did they just forget? If we don't stay in the Word and not and don't come to church and get our batteries charged, we can easily just drift away. Just drift away and live a life without God involved in it. Look where the world is. We've just drifted away. And we wonder why things are in such a mess. What a mess it was for the nation of Israel. And they burned incense. They did everything. They just did everything against what God wanted. Did God want incense burnt? He wanted burnt sacrifices in the temple at that time. Oh, they did some candlelight and all that kind of thing. But really, the shed blood of those animals was pointing toward the cross, and they didn't do that. They stopped doing that. Oh, yeah, they sacrificed stuff to these idols that they made. These huge brass idols as tall as this room. Cast metal with arms like this. And they built fires in that. This is how low, how bad it got. Those arms would get cherry red from the heat. And they would lay their babies on that. And we say, oh, that's terrible. But look where we're at today. What's going on in this country? Do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do it. This generation has forgotten God. And we wonder why things are getting so bad. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. It's simple. Just read the Word, know the Word. Where this thing's going. Oh, we say, oh, it's terrible. But then you look at the drugs and the alcohol and all the abuse and children being thrown into all those situations and abused in homes that are, you hear social workers talk about homes that are as bad or worse than them burning arms for children. And today, well, we just live with blinders on, folks. We don't want to talk about those things. It's sin. The sin of mankind has brought us to where we're at. In every dispensation, it's the same thing. God is merciful, isn't he? It's a wonder he ain't just pointed his finger and just zapped us all. It's amazing that he loves us that much to deal with our filthy sin. I'm telling you, you start looking at this stuff and it's just repetitive. And it says in verse 14, notwithstanding all this stuff that they were doing, somebody would try to stand up and tell them the truth. There's always a remnant. We are a remnant here. There's always a remnant of God-fearing people. Even though it may be small, we can impact this world. But these folks had got to the point to where it says, notwithstanding would they not hear, but hardened their necks, like the necks of their fathers. So here we are generations down the road, and they did not believe the Lord their God. They hardened their necks. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the book says. I don't believe it anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm doing fine. It's where we're at. It's where we're at. So they rejected the statutes. His covenants that they'd made with their fathers and their grandfathers. And they just walked away. So God stepped in and handed them over to heathen nations. They were enslaved, put in chains, hauled off to Assyria, hauled off to everywhere else, made slaves and punished in that circle, that sin and servitude. And then they would cry out to God and he'd forgive them. And they would get back on course with God. And then they'd fall right back into sin over and over and over and over again. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people. They failed to keep the law. And it went on. Now, we see that we move from that into the dispensation that we're living in now. Today, we're living in the age of grace. God's grace, folks. We sing about it. We praise God about it. The grace of God that saves us. We have faith. We do nothing to get it. We do nothing to keep it. But by faith, you are saved. Through his grace. The moral condition. They were carried off to Assyria. I can read those verses in 2 Kings chapter 17. You can read that. And it just 6 and 7, you can see that. I don't have time to read all that. They were carried away. God put them in chains, give them over to the Medes. And so it went. So it says there in verse 7:17, it says, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from underneath the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. They feared other gods. They worshipped other gods. Brought them up from that. The moral condition of mankind coming into this dispensation, the nation of Israel was trying. There was a remnant left. There's historical books, the book of Maccabees and all those other things that you can read and see what they tried to do. And we come into the 400-year period. Basically, they went zero, nowhere in society, in the world. Anything they did didn't matter. God just completely flattened the nation of Israel. Oh, there was a remnant, but they had no impact in the world there for about 400 years. So the moral condition took them to that point, which you can do that today. Do you know somebody? Do you know people? Do you know a family that their sins have caught up with them? And they have nothing. They have no faith. They have no hope. They have no home. Their children's a mess. And we wonder why this world is such a mess. We're two or three generations or more into this mess. And for me, I'm going to make the best effort I can make the rest of my life to point my children and their friends and their wives and whoever comes into my family through marriage for my grandchildren, I'm going to point them toward Christ. I'm going to make sure they know Jesus as their Savior. Now, you can't twist their arms, but I can sure preach it. And every time they see Paul, they're going to know that Paul's going to talk about God if they're not saved. And even if they are saved, we're going to talk about how you need to live your life. Folks, it takes work. It takes work because we're in this dispensation of grace, praise the Lord, that we had to stand back and look at the history here. What we've come through prior to this over the last few weeks looking at all these dispensations, the cycle of mankind. And where are we at in that cycle, in this dispensation? I know it's the age of grace, and God puts up with a lot. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. But the world is flying apart, and everybody notices it. Everybody knows it. Oh, there was time periods, Vietnam and the World War II, one and all that. And all that. This world has gone through hell. Now we have another war in the middle of Europe. Bless those people. Oh, there were some lovely people in Ukraine that I met. Brother Harry and I met. Pastor. But God is this age of grace that we live in. He has bestowed grace on us immensely in this wonderful church that we have. It's not the building, it's the people. There's so many loving people in this church. So many caring people in this church. Let's not waste that. We have the ability to have impact on our families, on our community, this world, reaching out through missionaries. We're not going to stop. Preacher Lastly told me a long time ago when I first came here in 99, in 2000, about a year after I was here, he said, he come to my house and he said, I want you to do one thing for me. You promise me that you'll never let this church go sideways. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's a day coming. He saw it then. He said, don't you let it creep in. You keep it solid, just where it's at. I said, I'll do that. And I'm going to do it. And there's some other deacons that's going to do it, won't we, Danny? We're going to stand up for God. And this world may come to them doors out there someday. We're still going to stand up to God. Because we're in this dispensation of grace, and this is the last one before he steps back in on the scene. Because the next dispensation I talk about is him coming back in the clouds and calling all us home. Some people say, well, I'm ready for that. Well, I'm kind of ready for that. But I've still got some work to do. I've got grandchildren. I've got children that need to be taught and shown the way to live, to make a decision. You know, man's state of being, this lost condition that we live in. Number one, people need to be saved. In Romans 3, in verse 11, it says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's in Romans. Of course, they were talking about present day then. Jews and Gentiles at that point. That's today. That's the New Testament. That's speaking to you and I right today. People ask, it's bad today. Yeah, it's bad today. And they said, what are we going to do? If you could ask that, what are you going to tell them? What are we going to do? As for me and my house, I'm going to trust God. As for me and my house, I'm going to come to church. As for me and my house, I'm going to witness every time I get a chance out in the store, out in the community, wherever I go. Because there is no other chance except you've got it with God. There is none. They are all gone out of their way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Does that sound like a verse that I just read back over in the Old Testament about the nation of Israel? And here we are today in this dispensation, and God's saying the same thing. Just read that whole thing there. Go today, get Romans 3, 9 through 19. And just everything in there, you can apply it, you can turn the news on and see it. Their mouths are full of cussing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery is in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And on it says. Read that. That's so applicable. I mean, just take it. Take Romans 9, 3, 9 through 19 and read it. That's the world that we live in. And what are we going to do about it? I can't do anything on my own. I can't stand up here and do this. I have to stay like this. I have to stay like this. As I go through life, I have to stay like this. I have to be prayed up, hooked up to God, and out to others. I've got to stay like this. I've tried to do this all my life. Sometimes do I fail? Yes. We're just flesh. But with God's help, God's word, we can show people what's going to happen. where this dispensation of grace is going. And is there much time left? I don't know. God didn't tell us. But we all feel it. If you read and study, you feel it. It's close. I taught that lesson some months ago about Christ standing up and taking that first scroll. God's got it in his hand. The title deed to this world. That's what's getting ready to happen. God's looking down on this mess, and he loves us, and his grace is plentiful. There's a day coming that he's going to look over at Christ on his right hand. And then 24 men that's standing around. Is there someone here that can take the scroll? Christ is going to stand up and he's going to take that. And he's going to open that book. And we are going to be called home. That's the next dispensation that's getting ready to happen. We're living in the age of grace, folks. It's a wonderful thing, what God's given us. But the bottom line, there is two classes of people. I don't care what color you are, what country you're from, where do you live in the world? There is two classes, saved and unsaved. Saved and unsaved. Where's your family? Where's your friends? There is no black and white. I mean, there is no gray. It's black and white. And the world don't like, they like to gray up stuff. The devil wants you to live in the gray area. I'm not living in the gray area. It's God's word. It's defined. It's definite. In this age of grace, you're either saved or you're not. I know that's a little harsh for some people to hear because of all. Oh, we can't say that. We may hurt their feelings. Well, their feelings is going to be hurt someday if they're standing in front of God at the great white throne judgment and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Would you rather them to see him do that? Because that's a fact. That's going to happen. Saved or unsaved. We have that choice to make. As this particular kingdom's priest, saved by grace, know Jesus as our Savior, know we're living in this age of grace, know it's getting close, and we know people or family that's not been saved. Saved or unsaved? That's really the question today. In this age of grace. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Isn't that good? It's a gift. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. It's a gift. When I give you something for a birthday or Christmas, it's a gift. I paid for it. When God gave us that, His son paid for it. He stood up that day some 2,000 years ago and come to earth and said, "I'll do it. I'll take care of it." It's a gift. God says it's a gift to mankind. Man is not saved by works. We can get into that and we all know that. We can talk about that with people. We worketh not to get it. And we worketh not to keep it. So here we are, lovers of ourselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers more than all the stuff and the ease of life that this country and life has provided. But we forget to love God. Folks, the consequences of man's failure, this unbelief, doomed to go to hell, the moral condition, the fallen, sinful condition, God's divine mercy is going to be when he steps back into clouds and he calls us out here. But the problem with that is, those that are unsaved right now, they're going to be blinded. And we can see how they're blinded because people are blinded right now to the truth of society and what's going on. Because a lot of people don't even think about stuff. Just live a numb life. It's amazing to me. I can't be that way. I've never been that way. Praise the Lord for what Christ did on the cross. Show others that he loves them through you, hooked up to him, out to them today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Lord, for that salvation. Lord, help us to be a witness before it's eternally too late. That statement is so valid today. Before it's eternally too late. God, help us. Give us a good day in church. Help our pastor to preach the word. Help this missionary that's here today to preach the word. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.